or so, but definitely shorter. Yet he seemed enormous to me. He was wearing a black collarless shirt with short sleeves and black baggy trousers tucked into calf-length black boots that hadn't been polished in a long time. He came up to me, looked me up and down as if I were a specimen in a zoo. His wide, thin lips turned down in an expression of pure loathing. I tried to meet his gaze, but what I saw in his eyes made me shudder inwardly. His eyes were like ice, cold and arctic blue. This man would kill me if it suited him, or anyone else. He looked past me toward Marguerite, and for just the flash of a second his expression changed completely. I saw surprise on his face. Shock, really. His jaw dropped open, his eyes went wide, but only for a fraction of a second. He closed his mouth with a click of his teeth and let out a long, snorting breath, but his eyes remained fixed on her.
Marguerite Duchamp, is it?
Yes, she said, in a voice barely strong enough to be heard.
You look just like your mother did 20 years ago.
Fuchs's own voice was lower, softer.
You knew her, then?
Marguerite asked, trembling. He nodded wordlessly.
She's dead,
Marguerite said.
I know.
He turned back toward me.
This idiot killed her.
Neither Marguerite nor I uttered a word of objection. Fuchs clasped his hands behind his back.
Or rather, his father did.
He stepped closer to me again, like an inquisitor examining his prisoner.
This was all your father's idea, wasn't it?
Anger flared through me.
You jumped at the chance to take his prize money quickly enough, I said.
Fuchs grinned at me mirthlessly.
True enough. I certainly did.
For a long moment we stood almost touching noses while Marguerite and the silent crew members watched us. Fuchs pulled away.
Very well, he said, pointing a finger at Marguerite. You'll be my guest aboard this vessel. Come, Miss Duchamp. Welcome, Miss Duchamp.
He made a ludicrous little bow, with a smile that on his heavy, fleshy face was little less than grisly. Then he turned back to me again.
And you, Mr. Humphreys, can replace the man I lost rescuing you.
Lost? I blurted. You lost a man? With a disgusted look, Fuchs explained,
My first mate was overcome by an unexpected burst of courage. When your vessel began to break up and the third man on your line started to fall away, my heroic first mate tried to reach him.
What happened? Marguerite asked.
What do you think? He jumped off the catwalk and grabbed the falling man's ankles, trusting that his own tether would keep him safely anchored to my ship.
Those tethers are supposed to be able to take tons of stress, I heard myself say.
And so they do, Fuchs said sarcastically. But the railing it was clipped to doesn't. It ripped away, and the two of them fell out of sight. Damned fool.
That was Rodriguez that the first mate tried to save. The two of them plunged screaming to their deaths. Fuchs jabbed a stubby finger at the technician sitting to the right of his command chair. She was a large, bulky woman with a round, flat face that looked to me almost like an Eskimo's.
So you, Amar Jagal, are now first mate.
He pointed again, this time at the wiry young man sitting next to her.
Nodon, you take over as propulsion engineer.
Both of them nodded. Don't they ever say anything, I wondered. Has Fuchs hired a crew of mutes? He turned back to me.
I have a vacancy now for the position of communications technician, he said, almost politely. You are now my comtech, Mr. Humphreys. That's an undemanding job, just right for someone with your lack of skills.
Now just a minute, Fuchs, I'm not— He kicked me in my left shin so hard that my leg exploded with pain. As I howled and bent over to clutch my leg, I saw his right fist swinging at me. There was nothing I could do. He punched me in the kidney, my body spasmed upright, and his left fist smashed into the side of my face. I crashed onto the deck so hard my vision went double. Fuchs towered over me, fists on his hips, a leering smile on his jowly face.
Hurts, doesn't it?
I couldn't speak. All I could do was writhe and groan from the pain.
That's your first lesson in ship's discipline, he said, his voice flat and hard. You will address me as Sir or Captain Fuchs, and you will follow my orders quickly and correctly. Understand me?
I was seeing flares of pain flashing before my eyes. I couldn't talk, couldn't even breathe. Fuchs kicked me in the ribs.
Understand me?
I nodded, weakly.
He grunted, satisfied, and strode away. Find a berth for our new comtech, he ordered the crewman.
I was awash with pain. But what hurt most was that Marguerite had just stood there, immobile as a statue. Even as I lay there on the deck, she made no move to come to my aid. I was losing consciousness. I could hardly breathe. As the world faded, the last thing I saw was Fuchs crooking a finger at Marguerite.
You come with me, he said to her.
She followed him. Everything went dark. Nightmare. I was walking in my garden outside the house on Mallorca, Gwyneth at my side. She was wearing something light and so filmy that I could see her naked body beneath the sheer fabric. It billowed when the breeze blew in off the sea. A mosquito whined past my ear. I became very annoyed. Genetic controls were supposed to have eliminated insect pests from the island. What had happened? What had gone wrong? I turned to ask Gwyneth, but it wasn't her anymore. It was Marguerite walking beside me in her spacesuit, of all things, carrying its helmet in her gloved hands. Wearing a spacesuit in my beautiful garden by the Mediterranean on a sunny springtime afternoon. I smiled at her and she smiled back. But then I felt the sting of an insect on my bare arm and slapped at it. You've got to get into your suit, she said to me. And it was her mother instead of Marguerite. But you're dead, I said, not believing my eyes. So will you be if you don't get into your suit, she replied urgently. But I don't have a suit, I said. Why would I keep a suit here? Instead of answering, she pointed a gloved hand out to the Mediterranean. The sea was boiling away, bubbling and gurgling with a mad hissing roar as immense clouds of steam rose into a sky that suddenly was no longer blue, but a grayish sort of sickly yellow. An immense glowering light was burning through the clouds, the sun so close and huge and hot that it was like an all-devouring god come to destroy everything it touched. Quickly! She yelled. I couldn't tell if it was Marguerite or her mother. She was putting on the helmet of her spacesuit. I turned frantically, searching the garden for my suit. All I found was the beautiful flowers and vines, withering, browning, bursting into flames all around me. And the insects were crawling all over me, biting, eating my flesh, burrowing into my skin and chewing on my innards. I could feel them gnawing away inside me, and when I tried to scream, no sound came out. They had devoured even my voice. But I heard others screaming. The long, screeching, terrified wails of men and women falling through the boiling hot air, wailing, "Save me! Save me!" Death sentence. My eyes snapped open. I lay on the bunk they had put me on, stiff and sore from the beating Fuchs had given me. My quarters consisted of a tiny section of a larger compartment, screened off from the other bunks by a thin plastic shoji-type sliding door. How long I lay there, I don't know. I was unconscious much of the time. I could hear people moving about and talking in a low, guttural foreign language on the other side of my screen. I felt terribly weak. Without my regular enzyme shots, my red cell count would fall until I sank into a coma and died. Maybe that would be for the best, I thought, as I lay there, miserable and alone. No one would care if I died. No one would mourn my death. I meant nothing to anyone. It would make utterly no difference to the world if I left it forever.
Than?
Marguerite's voice, calling softly from the other side of the shoji screen. I could see her silhouette against the white squares of plastic sheeting.
Than, are you awake?
She called again.
Come in,
I said, surprised at how strong my voice was. I certainly didn't feel strong, not at all. She slid the screen back. My bunk was flush against the bulkhead, so she simply stood where she was, out in the common area of